relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Welcome to America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. Never let it be said that I have a proprietary relationship with our regular guests. I let them go to other places as well, especially when they perform as well as our good friend, the Baron, when he does things like this.
Let me ask it like this as well. I understand that you have the right to advocate for your beliefs and your client. That's why you're here. When you say alternate electors, that's your view of it. Of course, you also understand that there are open probes, including in Georgia, that prosecutors might look at it differently. You understand that if you are aiding and abetting the seating of fraudulent electors or voter fraud, that not only is that potentially against the law, but then you also would lose the lawyer-client privilege under the crime fraud exception for your client, the Trump campaign.
First of all, I don't think that you are the one that's going to be determining, or your audience, whether there was any perpetration of fraud. I will tell you that the perpetration of fraud was absolutely done, and it was done by the Democrats, it was done by the left, by Mark Elias and others, and that fraud was perpetrated on the American people. That's why, according to Doug Schoen, over 50% of Americans believe that there was fraud in the 2020 election that was substantial. 47-41, again, Doug Schoen, a Democrat, says that there was fraud which changed results in the 2020 election. So, Ari, everything that was done illegally by the Trump legal team, according to the rules and under the leadership of Rudy Giuliani. We fought for the truth, and the truth is that there was overwhelming fraud in the 2020 election.
That's the way you deal with the lying legacy media, with a wry little smile, a subtle little chuckle, and then you destroy them as only a regular guest. You see him on the War Room every week. He's here with us one-on-one. He's Boris Epstein, but we just call him the Baron. It's his Baronial Wave.
The Baronial Wave.
I love that interview. I don't watch that garbage, Ari Melba. I don't even know what channel it was on. But when I saw you give that interview, I couldn't do that. I mean, you controlled yourself. It was like you were back in law school doing some, you know, trial prep. And you nailed it. The guy thinks he gets to decide what the truth is. It's like, what's that other guy, Morning Joe? We get to decide what the
truth is. We tell you what to think.
Yes.
That's our job, you know. Same network, MSDNC.
Well, there you go. He is former special assistant to President Trump, former strategic advisor to the 2020 campaign. Find him on all platforms. But now we're going to enjoy him for a whole hour. Okay,
that's, I love that.
That's the fun, okay? We'll talk about...
Is the fun over?
No, the fun's not over. We have time. But I got to get serious, given the events of yesterday. And this clip, as we are preparing for the show on Wednesday, this was happening live. It's a tragedy. It's horrific. The governor, all of his lieutenants, the head of public safety, the superintendent of schools, were giving the first press conference since the Uvalde massacre. And a Democrat thought it's a good time to grandstand.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Hey, sit down.
The next shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
No, you should get his ass out of here. This isn't the place to talk to. So
this is totally predictable. When you,
sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Please leave this auditorium. I can't believe you're a sick son of a bitch that would come to a deal like this to make a political issue. It's on assholes like you. Why don't you get out of here?
I know it's an election year, Boris. I know the left have made everything political, from high school swim meets to, you know, the First Amendment's application to social media. But for that man, Beto O'Rourke.
Bobby Francis.
Bobby, sorry, yeah, Irish, Robert O'Rourke, to disrupt the first official response to the tragedy and say that the death of those 20 children, that one adult, quote, is on you, is on the governor, is on the Republican Party. Aren't there certain limits to just how much things should be politicized, especially when people are, children are still in the ICU recovering from bullet wounds?
There should be, yes. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit, you know, off camera. I'll tell you, you know, I've got a six-year-old boy and you know, I've definitely been hugging him a few extra times.
Right.
Last couple of days, especially as I drop him off at school, which is something that I really love to do. And so, you know, the first thing, as a parent, as a human being, you know, I want to send so much love and prayer to the families, you know, of the victims, hope for recovery of those who are, you know, still in the hospital, and, of course, praying for those innocent souls. And you know, to think of this evil, to think of this sickness in our society and how it's happening so often now, right? I mean, Buffalo was just a week ago.
Right.
And then there was a shooting on Connecticut Avenue, you know, a few weeks ago.
Well, 2 days ago, there was an 8-year-old girl who was shot here in D.C. Two men got into an argument.
Right.
One of them pulls a gun, and an 8-year-old girl ends up in the ICU.
So, you know, what's happening in this country is devastating in a lot of ways, right? And that's apolitical. In terms of the issue at hand, as a parent, again, I think school safety has to be paramount. Our schools have to be at least as, if not more, secure than our airports. They've got to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you and I are both big believers in the Second Amendment, no doubt about it, right? It's the Constitution. It says it. This is where our country is. And it is disappointing, not surprising, of course, that the left, including total idiots, and let's hope this is the last we'll hear them finally, like Beto O'Rourke, who they so obviously don't actually care about what happened in these events. And they want to go and create theater around
it.
You know, so I think it's disrespectful to the memory of the victims. It's disrespectful to, you know, to their families, to their parents. And it is also not productive. It is not productive. We have a Second Amendment in this country. It is a vital, vital section of the Constitution that oversees and dictates how we conduct ourselves.
And will not be repealed.
And it's not going to be repealed. And by the way, I'm 1,000% against repeal. You're 1,000% against
right.
repeal. If the other side gets enough to go and go to, you know, go through the constitutional process for a constitutional amendment, hey, that's baseball, right? That, you know, there's a process for that. And that's called the amendment process, right? You can either do it through state legislatures or state conventions, and you've got to go through Congress. You know, they're not going to do that. They can't get there. There's no way politically, right? That's not where the country is. Having said that, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, mental health, and that's a problem. Mental health is undoubtedly a problem in this country, and it's got to be fixed. We've got to find a way to fix it. But the way you prevent crime and the way you prevent shootings like this one is undoubtedly through security.
Well, and it's definitely not through disarming law-abiding citizens.
No.
Which is what the left always wants. They want to ban certain types of weapons.
Well, except for the people who protect them.
Of course.
Right?
Right.
Except for their own...
Squad members who spent $500,000 right. in the last year on private armed security.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You know, so Cory Bush.
Cory Bush
and right. others and the squad. So this is a major issue. And this is an issue that touches, you know, such a huge swath of the population, right? I mean, look at, are there any citizens, really, who don't have some affinity for children, right? Everybody's, it's either your children or your nieces, nephews, relatives, friends. But, and it's one that has got to be solved. By the way, President Trump made a lot of progress on school safety and pushed forward on school safety. I don't hear Joe Biden talking about school safety.
No, that's interesting. He railed, he shouted, the gun lobby was blamed. But just your simple point, if you want to politicize this, well, how about the question of schools being as secure as our airport? It's a very simple metric. It's a great one. That's why he's the Baron. Follow him, BorisEP.com, also on all the social media channels. Don't forget, if you enjoy in-depth discussions with the newsmakers, with the very best experts, make sure you never, ever miss an episode. Go to your favorite platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka. You've got to subscribe today. It's absolutely free. Write a little review. It helps a great deal with those dastardly algorithms, and share the links and guarantee that you never miss an episode. This is America First. If you haven't done so already, be sure to register right now for our Stand With Israel tour. We are going to the Holy Land 10 days later this year with my fabulous Salem colleague and his lovely wife, Debbie. That's Dinesh D'Souza. He is the director, of course, of 2,000 Mules. You're going to be traveling with me, Dr. G, Dinesh, and Debbie. If you've never been to the Holy Land, now is the time. If you've been, it doesn't matter. You haven't been with me and Dinesh. Don't miss the trip of a lifetime. Reserve your seats today by calling 855-565-5519 or go to standwithisraeltour.com. That number again, 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. Okay, so let's try and move a little bit further away from this tragedy and put it into the context of what year we are in, which is a midterm year, the recent slew of primaries. How do you predict the Democrat platform? You are a campaigner of yore. How do you predict right now, 5 months out, the Democrat platform evolving? Because they can't talk about the economy. No. They can't talk about national security. They can't talk about jobs or inflation. Is it going to be going back to the old talking points of Roe v. Wade, saving abortion, and gun control given the recent events?
So on Roe v. Wade, you know, it appears so. So here's the problem, that even, you know, with this leak of the supposed Roe v. Wade opinion, it didn't seem to energize the Democrat base at all. You know, 10, 20,000 people came to D.C. for a day and then promptly left.
Yeah.
It appears that the Democrats are in such a bad way because they've turned off the American populace so much that there's nothing they can go to. And, you know, on the gun issues, on the Second Amendment, you see idiots like Beto O'Rourke. But that is not an issue that is historically driven the left. Protecting the Second Amendment drives the right. But in terms of the left, they just have not, you know, come out in huge droves for
That's
it.
That's a very interesting point. Let's just drill down on that for a second, because there are certain things like, you know, the Women's March or pro-abortion that it's a measurement of commitment, that it actually physically mobilizes right. thousands or tens of thousands to go to an event. You remember, you know, our first day in the White House, January 21st, the whole building, thanks to the Metropolitan Police and the mayor, Muriel Bowser, they'd allowed the Pussy Hat Women's March to use every street around the White House. So we were basically surrounded for that whole day. But you don't see, or rarely, you know, after, you know, Columbine or after Parkland, you see something. But it's not the Second Amendment or anti-gun issue, the gun control issue, doesn't seem to have that mobilizing effect for the left. Is that because so many people understand that, you know, this is the culture, this is the Second Amendment? Why does it have that lack of mobilization?
So the Second Amendment is very ingrained in America, there's no doubt about it. Also, a lot of people own guns.
Right.
You know, including a good amount of liberals. So it's an issue that's been historically tough to mobilize around. You know, on abortion, it's been an issue that they have had a lot of energy behind. The left, the liberals have, but even that seems to be waning. You know, I think just the sheer fecklessness, the sheer weakness of Joe Biden, of his team, is sapping enthusiasm at such a rate that we've really never seen before. And I don't think that they can rebound it from it, my friend, because you have to you have to go and get mobilized around something positive. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to mobilize around just pure negative. And you know, right now, they don't have leadership. They don't have effectiveness. They don't have any achievements. So what are you going to be excited about? So I think it's going to be a major wave. And you know, I think there's a good chance that it is the largest wave in terms of the House and the Senate in the history of this country.
Really?
Yes.
All right, you heard it here first, guys. The largest trouncing for the GOP against the Democrats in American history. Okay, let me tee up a scenario for you. I don't think that Biden's going to serve a second term. I don't think there's any way he's going to run for a second term. There's that peculiar interview where he said, he was asked by the mainstream media, what happens if you and Kamala disagree on an issue, on a policy issue? And he said, well, I'll do what I agreed to do with Obama, which is I'll, quote, come up with an ailment and I'll resign, which is like a very strange statement to make on camera. I think he's
a strange guy.
From a strange guy. I think that scenario is going to happen. He will be forced to remove himself from the race. What does 2024 look like? Is it going to be Kamala? How are they going to deal with that? Is she going to be replaced by somebody else? You've been in the swamp long enough. What is your spider sense telling you?
You know, there was a very interesting New York Magazine article about this in the last couple of days that did a deep dive on just how dispirited Democrats are with Joe Biden and what bad shape he's in. Now, the Biden people are insisting he's running again. They are.
I know that.
And here's what I'll tell you. I think every day that goes by, that he is still the, you know, illegitimate but sitting president, and that he's still the presumptive nominee, I think it becomes more and more likely that he is their nominee.
Really?
I really do. And I'll tell you why. Because time is getting, you know, time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and they haven't had anybody step up. And by Kamala Harris being as horrible as she has been,
right,
staff complete turnover, disaster.
Every speech,
disaster. No positivity. She is 15% lower, 15% lower in approval where Joe Biden was under Obama. She's 11% lower where Mike Pence was under President Trump.
Wow.
She is disdained and derided. So with that, you know, you don't have a sitting vice president who could step in. And then you look beyond it, you know, and they look at a bunch of governors like Cooper out of North Carolina. They look at Pritzker out of Illinois. They're looking at Newsom out of California. But there's nobody logical. There's no logical next.
You mean, you know, it's not going to be Mayor Pete, Boris? It's not going to be Edge?
You listen, I think it may be, but he's too busy. He's still on that paternity leave.
Oh, and he's looking for the baby formula.
The baby formula. He's looking for it somewhere.
Somewhere. Ireland or Denmark?
I think he's in Iceland.
Iceland, that famous producer of baby formula.
Yes. So I think they have nobody. Like, look at their bench. And now Bernie Sanders again. People say, I may have
Hillary, what? You didn't even mention Hillary. Come on, Barron.
Well, that's the one I was keeping best for last. That's the one that intrigues in some ways the most people on the left, because what they're afraid of, right? And it's interesting, in this article and others, they're all still so deeply and fully obsessed with Donald J. Trump. I mean, it's amazing to see. And for some reason, they think that Joe Biden, you know, first of all, Joe Biden didn't get 81 million votes last time. Okay,
anybody, correct.
Go see the movie, right? 2000 Mules. And for some reason, they believe that Joe Biden's got the special force that can fight against President Donald Trump. Look at the approval ratings.
I love it when they convince themselves of their own garbage.
Yes.
That's the most delicious of all. He's on all platforms, especially Truth Social, Instagram, you name it, get her. Boris Epstein, BorisEP.com. This is America First One-on-One. Okay, we've covered the other side of the aisle, Barron. We've talked about the Democrats. We've talked about the White House, about Biden. Let's talk about our side. President Trump has got a record of something like 90-plus to 7. He is the kingmaker extraordinaire. No, I don't think there's anything in American political history that comes close. How does this affect, if we have what you predicted, this utter tsunami in the midterms, if we take the Senate as well as the House, huge margins, what is the identity of the party after the elections?
Because MAGA.
Okay, but also when it comes to the levers of power, well, because I, you know, when Jim Jordan comes on my show and I say, hey, you're going to be the Speaker of the House, he says, no. I'm just going to chair the Judiciary Committee. I want real MAGA in the leadership. I don't want any more Mitch McConnells. I don't want people like, you know, Kevin's a nice guy, but he's weak fundamentally. So we may have the most players on the field in terms of MAGA, but Boris, how do we become the determinant factor in who's running the GOP?
So in terms of Mitch McConnell, you know, I think it's been clear that Mitch McConnell is completely divorced himself from America First, from MAGA,
from the President
Trump. Exactly. And Lindsey Graham is even out there said, hey, you cannot be the leader of the Senate. And this is Lindsey Graham talking. You can't be who's, you know, not exactly full MAGA. You
can, the guy who on that tape said, you know, Biden would be great.
Right. Oh, Biden, my best buddy. Yeah. That he said that you cannot be the leader of the Republican Party in the Senate if you don't have a relationship with the leader of the party. Which is President Donald J. Trump. So in the Senate, it's clear as day. Now, the issue is that the Senate is a small chamber, right? And they've got to get to 50% plus one to become leader. And, you know, you look around the room, right? So the hope is that we'll have enough young, new people who are there, like Eric Greitens,
okay,
Katie Britt. You know, you've got Oz coming, you know, it seems like coming out of Pennsylvania. Herschel Walker,
yeah,
coming out of Georgia. This new Blake Masters.
But they won't have seniority. They won't have the old guard.
It's just a vote, right? So
right, but in terms of classic power politics.
That's the issue.
Right.
The issue is that this is going to be a young, new generation. And will they have enough oomph to push and say, Mitch McConnell, your time is up? On the House side, you know, frankly, it's up to Kevin to have the strongest relationship possible with MAGA. And I think if he has that and builds that, I think I said this to you a couple of weeks ago, if he continues to build that relationship, strengthen that relationship in terms of Kevin McCarthy and the relationship, of course, with President Trump, he does, you know, appear to be on his way to becoming Speaker. So, but, you know, it's really, you know, in the House, the chairs of the committees have so much power.
Yes.
The rest of the leadership has so much power. In the Senate, it's really the leader, right? So we've got to do all we can to ensure that the Senate does bring in that new leadership. And Mitch McConnell is no longer the, I think, will be majority leader after.
Who would
after
be
January.
Your best? Who would be your favorite? If all the MAGA guys win that you listed, who would be the most MAGA leader?
I don't think it's possible to have somebody who's a freshman as a leader.
Right.
I think that's happening.
The only one that I like out there is Marsha, who's already there, Blackburn.
I think Marsha's interesting. I think somebody like a Hagerty, mm-hmm, out of Tennessee, another Tennessee, you know, relatively new senator. But, you know, what does it look like? Who's a potential realistic alternative? It's Rick Scott. Okay. You know, because he's the chair of the conference, and
right,
he's, you know, he's got a lot of backing around him, and he does have a good relationship with MAGA, and you know, so to some degree, the older line.
Okay, let's go behind the curtain. Let's pull back the curtain a little bit, because it's not just what's happening in public, in the House leadership, in the Senate leadership. It's the machinery of the GOP. It's the RNC. There are problems there, Boris. The RNC does not reflect MAGA. Can we fix that?
I think the RNC is an entity that, in a way, has ceded a lot of the oomph to the specific committees, right? The Republican, the Senatorial Committee, the Congressional Committee. Now, does the RNC have to reflect MAGA? 1,000%.
Yes.
1,000%. Do we have to continue to put pressure on to make sure it does so? 1,000%. And, you know, I think that's the RNC is supposed to reflect the base,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And I think it's incumbent upon the leadership of the RNC, the current, future, whatever it may be, to work on that and ensure that they're not getting the negative blowback that they too often get.
At this point, I like to plug a book for my guest, but he doesn't have one. Let's kick his backside and make sure Boris writes a book called
a book, yes.
The Baron. And we should have that image on our page. All right, biggest topic of the day. Are you ready, Baron?
I'm ready.
All right. Election integrity. So
I thought it was going to be cigars.
Oh my gosh, we didn't. How do we get half an hour in and we haven't even discussed cigars? That's outrageous. We'll have to film an interview at the monthly conservative cigar evening that is coming up, and then we'll have to just splice it into the show.
Love it.
Because we have to talk. Look, just look at 2,000 Mules. This is the most successful political documentary in a decade.
Yes.
1 million downloads in 6 days, 100,000 DVDs mailed out. It is in 415 theaters as of last week. Everybody needs to watch it. It is the incontrovertible evidence of how they stole the election. I'm going to say it right now, salemnow.com, produced by us. I have a vested interest in it because it's so important. Just watch it, order it, go to a movie theater, salemnow.com. How does this play into November? Are you, as somebody who's fought on the ground in Arizona and elsewhere after the election to get to the bottom of all the skullduggery, all the fraud, give us a rating, give us an A to F of the GOP and the state houses since November in terms of fixing the stuff the Democrats put in place to steal the election. Give us a grade.
C plus.
Okay. So some states have been okay.
Some states have passed laws, you know, including actually Georgia.
Right.
Pennsylvania has worked on it, but you know they've got a Democrat governor. Arizona has taken some action, not nearly enough. So there have been some steps taken, but not nearly to the point of strength. You know, over Florida, which has fixed its electoral system.
So what does that look like? Let's stop. What is fixing? What is making an election, as I'm going to use a new word here, unstealable as possible look like? What does a state legislature have to do?
Mostly overwhelming same-day voting.
Same-day voting.
Very, very, very determined and specific and limited allowances for mail-in balloting.
Right, like when I had to prove when I was traveling in Virginia before the Democrats, you know, destroyed everything, I had to get, you know, authorization and proof why I was working, why my work needed me out of the state.
Exactly.
Not just, oh, because I'm not here.
Right, or
you have to justify it.
Or universal mail-in balloting, as they have in Utah and other states.
So that's number two.
That's a vital number two.
And then
making sure that those rules and laws are enforced.
What about voter rolls?
Voter rolls is vital, no doubt about it. Now,
because that's how you cheat, right?
Of course. Well, that's one way you cheat. Another way you cheat is you send 50 mail-in ballots out to the same house that has three people.
Right.
Then, or you say the house that has three people has 15 people.
But the voter roll is also playing to that, because if you've got people who've left that house, you just send it there anyway because the voter roll hasn't been cleaned up.
And somebody comes, collects it, and there's your mules.
Okay, so that's what has to happen. I don't know if you saw the interview between the president and Stuart Varney, where Varney said, most Americans, including your supporters, want to move on. And the president pushed back and said, no, because you can't move on if you don't fix
Correct.
It. So when it comes to fixing it, an investigation was announced on Wednesday by a sheriff in Arizona based upon 2,000 mules. What else needs to happen? I mean, we have petabytes worth of data and 4 million minutes of video.
We've got to have the audits, the full forensic investigations. You know, they did the audit in Arizona. Frankly, I think that audit could have been stronger. It would have showed even more fraud. So I think the audit team there underperformed. But we've got to have the full forensic audits all across the country, in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, we did an audit in December of 2020, and it turned up 200,000 unlawful ballots in Milwaukee and Dane County alone. Dane is where Madison, Wisconsin is. It's an election that's separated by 20,000 votes.
So these are ballots that were just corrupted.
Well, these are ballots that, for example, there they have irreparably confined, indefinitely confined. And if you're indefinitely confined in Wisconsin, which actually has very specific and limited rules on mail-in balloting, one of the subsections under which you can vote by mail is if you're indefinitely confined. Well, the number of indefinitely confined went up from, you know, something like, 100 or 1,000 to 10, 20, 30,000.
So multiples.
Multiples. Right. And because Mark Elias and the completely corrupt Democrat apparatus did is they flooded the ballots and gutted the checks. So you had people mailing, voting by mail who are in Wisconsin. I have pictures of them in Wisconsin who are saying they're indefinitely confined, but they're out and about, you know.
But that's audits. What about people paying, you know, criminal penalties for being traffickers, for being the NGOs
no doubt about it.
That collected and harvested illegally, like in Georgia?
And that's why you've got the attorney generals in Arizona, Brnovich. You got the attorney general in Georgia. You know, good luck getting Shapiro in Pennsylvania to do anything, or Wisconsin, where they're Democrats. But unfortunately, these states in Georgia, you've got rhinos. In Arizona, Brnovich has put out a couple of reports, but really hasn't done anything. The law enforcement arm has not done nearly enough to bring to justice those who perpetrated this fraud on the American people.
All right. And on top of that, there has to be, you know, this is what everybody asks me about since I'm in the movie. What happens next? So I think it's a week to go, maybe 2 weeks max. Catherine Engelbrecht, who is the engine along with Greg Phillips of the data at True the Vote, the right. collection of the data that Dinesh built the movie on. Some things, you know, you've only got 90 minutes in a movie, cannot be said in a movie, but it's 2 petabytes worth of data, huge amount of geolocating data, and also all those FOIA'd official municipal building CCTV camera footage tapes. It's almost 5 million minutes of footage from the illegal Dropbox sites where the ballot harvesting and trafficking occurred. All of that information is about to be put online so anybody can access it. And the idea that there isn't some law enforcement individual out there, another county sheriff, somebody, a local prosecutor who says, you know, I don't care what the feds aren't doing, this must not happen in my locale and I'm going to investigate it. It's a crime. It is a crime, especially even in states that, you know, allow ballot harvesting like California. You can't pay anybody to harvest, and you can't pay anyone for their vote in any state of the election, any state of the nation. That is a crime. We're talking to the Baron. Follow him everywhere. Boris Epstein, also BorisEP.com. Boris, I need you, as we have done many times before, I haven't had you in the studio for as long a chat as this for a while, to speak directly to our millions of listeners, plus all the other viewers on Rumble and elsewhere, because every day, you know, both of us, we spend too much time on social media, and if you read the comments and the reactions from the good guys, from the people on our side, sooner or later, every day, you'll find the person who says, "That's it. We're never going to win again. They'll just steal it again. The president should be the president now. We can't." This is what I'm hearing a lot now, given the last 16 months. "We can't wait another 2 years. There will be no America left." What do you say to those who believed in MAGA, voted for President Trump, believe in America first, but who've really given up and lost hope, Baron?
Cannot lose hope. We cannot give up. We've got to keep fighting, because if we don't fight, if we just say, well, you know, the country's down the tubes, we are turning the country over to the bad guys.
That's the point.
We have to stand. We have to continue to fight. We have to fight to get to the bottom of the 2020 election. We've got to fight to get MAGA candidates in droves this year in November. And then we've got to fight to bring back President Trump in 2024. So he walks into that Oval Office the latest January 20, 2025.
And anybody can run, right? I mean, I was in New Jersey with Driver, who beat one of the most powerful men in the state.
The longest tenured state senator in New Jersey.
So there's no obstacle. It's not just about writing a check or voting. It's much more. You have to get truly engaged, do you not?
Get engaged. Be authentic. Be yourself. Be strong. And for those, look at J.R. Majewski in Ohio, right? Barely had a campaign. One. Look at Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Spent a couple hundred grand at most.
Double digit
won.
Win. Right.
Won by double digits. President Trump came in the end and doubled his margin. If you are enthusiastic, if you're authentic, if you're a real MAGA, get out there and get involved. And it can be at any level. Precinct committee man, committee woman, could be the school board, board of regents of the state university, or, you know, state house, state senate, or the federal level. Get involved. And as the more our people get involved, the more we're going to win.
I love it. We've got 30 seconds left. Favorite recent smoke. What are you smoking nowadays? I've
been smoking the Trinidads. I've been really enjoying it. But I've also smoked a couple of those Gurkhas that our good friend has sent us.
Full-bodied.
I smoked two
What?
Two.
Oh, you did. You did. You did. You did. You did.
I was proud of myself.
I need to catch up again. I'm going to go to my Olivas. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First 101 on the Salem News Channel. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, get engaged. Come on. It's up to us. We can do it. It is un-American. We never give up. Keep your head in a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give in. Never give up. And wherever you are, stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.